This is CliffCentral.com.
Back Life. All about lifestyle, relationships, cause, and get. From Cassie to the Burb.
From Cassie to the Burb.
Black Life. Yeah, it's that time once again to get on top of it for this week. It's Black Life coming right back at you. I'm with Monabisi today, which is really wonderful. It's good to see you, Bisi.
He's starting before we even
it's
begin.
It's good to see you, guys. It's been so long.
Give me some air.
Give me some air.
Hello. Thank you. There we go.
You're on. It's just that these are not as loud as they used to, you see.
Yeah.
No. How you doing, buddy?
I'm fine, and you, buddy?
I'm good, man.
Yeah.
Can't complain. It's been a fantastic week. I had a terrible weekend. The Bucks losing again really put me down. You know, I couldn't take it. And then Kosatu comes out and says that it's because actually that guy Heinicke is not playing the black players, which I've been suspecting.
Yeah,
but I was like, you know, I was trying to hold it down. I was trying not to go there with
right,
that.
Right.
But then I realized maybe they have a point, man.
Yeah,
why is he not playing the brothers?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, and the brothers that are there, it's not like they're there because they're brothers. They're there because they can play.
I mean, Lwazi Mvovo never gets to start. Never. And when he does get to start, the other players never pass to him. Have you noticed that, though?
Yeah.
The guys never let it go to the wing. And there were too many forwards in that back line.
Yeah, but Argentina...
There was no discipline.
Argentina... You know, just saying Argentina in... I'm trying to say
just
it in
saying
Vanek,
Argentina won like, in South Africa.
Argentina.
Huh? No.
10 years. Over no. 10 years since they lost one... On our soil.
I think it's even more than that. I was very upset. And I'm still quite upset about that whole thing because I don't see it getting better for the World Cup, to be honest with you.
No.
I think like, look at what happened to, was it Mahoje?
Yeah.
He's like in the squad, never gets a chance to play.
Yeah.
A white player who was just injured now, wasn't even in the squad originally, takes him out when another player is injured.
Yeah, no. It's What can I say?
Nah. You know, I'm thinking of...
I'm speechless. That's why I keep saying, yeah, no.
I'm thinking of buying that All Blacks top because I think that's a team to support for the World Cup.
Yeah, well, for Wena, you know, it's...
For me, what? For you, what? What are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
It's one of those things where... But how crazy was Twitter, yo?
What happened on Twitter?
Like, with this big ad...
You know, I didn't really follow that. I didn't understand what happened on Twitter with that big ad. What happened on Twitter
you know,
with that big ad?
Being a daddy is a problem sometimes. It's counter-revolutionary. People like you
I
who
just
are
follow
always
Read a
in
Book
the news.
Essay. I follow Stival. You know, my people are doing great things. Stival released a book.
Yeah, that was great.
That was blowing up on Twitter.
Really? Uh-huh.
Yeah, that was all over the place.
Okay.
Stival Mark, big up, my boy.
Yeah, the player's guide.
The player's guide. I feel like I don't need it anymore, though.
Yeah, ne?
Yeah,
you're not his target market anyway, so it's fine.
Are you target market?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
So you're not getting the book either?
No. I bought the book. I want
to
read it.
There's some things you need to learn about being a player, ne?
No.
Oh, well, then why'd you buy it?
Dimish, I'm trying to make peace with you and you're going there, okay?
I'm just asking because you are saying it's about being a player, right? And I'm saying, okay, look.
No,
you know,
a refined player. Like, how am I?
So you're
saying you don't need it. I say I don't need it.
Are you a refined player then?
Are you a refined player?
I'm not a player at all.
Oh.
I'm not on the market.
Okay.
I'm just.
That's why you're still getting kicked
dad.
Out of the house.
I'm not getting kicked out of the house anymore.
Okay. All right.
Not this year. So far, so good.
You see, I must warn people that like I keep trying to stay away from that side of things with Dumisho, but he keeps going there.
What side of things?
I'm going to like. I'm going to like unleash the dragon because when I got here as well. Like people were just poking.
I'm poking. I want to release the Kraken.
Okay.
So what happened with the big ad, man?
Yeah, man. There was a campaign with this cute lady picture. It says, "Look like a girl, act like a lady, think like a man."
Oh, cute nyana, Shem. Okay. Sorry. There you go.
Okay, you read it.
No, read it with the top billing voice.
Because you're
to
starting.
See,
read
I just
it with
to
the top billing
lady.
Voice.
Because you said this cute lady. So I wanted to see what your type is.
It's a good stock
your
image.
Type?
It's a good stock image.
Is that your type?
No, but my guest is my type.
Oh, okay.
The guest on our show
is my
type.
We'll get to that. Easy, Tiger. easy, Tiger. Pull it back. Look like a girl, act like a lady, think like a man, work like a boss. I think that's the line that got them.
Work like a boss.
Think like a man.
how Steve Harvey says it there.
It's okay if you're Steve Harvey, but you can't just, as some South African man, just say stuff like that and think you're going to get away with it.
I don't think, personally, I don't think there's anything wrong with it, unless, you know.
Why is thinking like a man a good thing? Why can't you just think like a woman? Look like a girl, act like a lady, think like a woman.
Okay.
Work like a boss. I'm with the ladies here. They shouldn't have.
You're always with the crowd, eh? Always with the crowd.
Okay. Who are you with?
We're all going south.
Let's hear what you said.
I don't care. Somebody thought that was a clever thing. Let them think so.
You agree with the big
guys.
Let them
think. They wouldn't have taken it out if they didn't think it was a clever idea.
It was a lousy idea.
Okay, but how many lousy movies have you been in that we can't, like...
None. I've never been in a lousy movie. I don't know what it's like to be in a lousy movie.
To me, sure.
I've never been on Generation. Name one lousy movie that I've been in. Name it.
Okay, Generations is now a movie.
Name a lousy movie.
Like, you guys are poking me, and I'm ready to pop.
Swap maybe was not great.
Oh.
But it wasn't bad.
Maybe.
No, maybe it wasn't
Your
great,
number one detective?
That was a great show.
What?
That was a great show.
The book is great. That acting was second grade.
That was
grade.
A great show.
Where?
I mean, it won an Emmy. But I guess, you know.
Yeah, but,
you
but
know
not
better.
For the South African, not for the South African actors.
Well, they weren't nominated.
Exactly, you see.
No, but you see, you see? They
so they must bring
the
someone from outside
to show
you it something
was a very
from
good,
the inside.
Good show. I don't know what you're trying to
Duck,
say.
Man.
It was a great show.
Ma Serobe. She can't even pronounce our local
name. But she's
names.
One of the winners of the Emmy.
Yeah, you see, that's okay. The problem. The Emmys aren't South African. They're done that side for
maybe you
their
go,
people there.
Maybe you know better than the guys on the Emmy panel.
Personally, I think there's nothing wrong with this, except
Mona
this
DC
woman should have just gotten
better.
Her weave right.
Choose. Who's
look like a girl, act like a lady,
cute.
Think
that's
like
that's now she was cute. Now she should have gotten a weave right. Who are you
that's
to talk about
I'd
her
criticize.
Weave?
That's the only thing I'd
Who
criticize.
Who are you to criticize a black woman's weave?
Oh.
Who
it's
are
gonna
you?
Be a long show.
Who are you to criticize
it's
a black woman's weave?
It's gonna be a long show.
Gonna be a long show, Papa. I'm
yeah,
on top of you.
Anyway, Bic, if they want to measure the ROI on Bic, I've forgotten what Bic pens look like. So
what if you replace Bic, the B in the Bic with a D? What would it be?
It would be Tumisho is a dick.
Wow. Okay, that's a good way to start the show.
Ne?
With an atom bomb.
Yeah.
Like Hiroshima. You know, 70 years ago, on this day, Hiroshima was hit with that very same atom bomb that you just hit me with now.
Really, eh?
Yeah. 70 years later, we're still
You know, Dimisha's a dad now, and he's become a... Yo, I'm thinking of a
her?
Word, ne? Like, that's like...
How many
like,
syllables?
Like, if our guest wasn't in
syllables?
Studio,
How many vowels?
Like, I see you...
I see you.
Oh, I'm boiling. Woo! Switch the aircon on, please.
It was nice without you last week, Manavis.
No.
You know, we had such a nice time.
No, it was.
But
the ratings, you see, were a bit circumspect. You know, since
oh,
I was
is
not
that
here.
The word you were thinking of? You finally got it. You just needed some time, man.
Oh, this guy.
It's a whore.
Yeah, no. You're doing a very good job trying to poke, buddy. It's
All right, well, let's discuss what's hot today. What's coming up on the show, right?
Yeah, bo.
I'm very excited about what's coming up on the show.
Mm.
We've got a really gorgeous guest with us today. I see you. Looking at me.
Baby
okay.
Jesus.
Then we've got some style tips coming up.
Mm.
And then really great gadgets. I'm very excited about talking about these gadgets. I haven't got my hands on them yet, but I'm definitely going to get my hands on one of these.
Right.
And of course, motoring. More motoring stuff. Mm. And what to do this weekend. It's my birthday, by the way, on the 14th. So tomorrow is my birthday. So I just like to say, you could, not you, Mona BC, but I'm putting it out to you, you know. Okay, no, I can't actually put that out. What to do on the weekend? I was going to say you could do.
No, go. I'd like to hear
you
this. And Zosi
that, so.
Is listening, so I want to hear all of this. No. Keep going, buddy. You're doing a good job.
But I'm putting out.
At this stage, you'll be kicked out of the house on your birthday. So I'm enjoying this.
Now that's never happened before.
Yeah. Next.
Which actually might be fun because you see what happens when I'm kicked out stays where I'm kicked out.
Yeah. Yeah. So I want to hear this. So you were saying you want to do what with our guest on your birthday?
I don't want to do anything. All I'm saying is...
So our guest is
I'm
our guest
it.
In an odd spot here.
I'm opening the floor to say to people, okay, if there's anything you can do... this is my birthday weekend.
Zosi's on speed dial. By the way, that's a Zosi phoning me on the offline phone. Asking me what we're doing on air. So, keep going, buddy.
You know what,
keep going. On the 14th. Shashvi doesn't need
I don't get into trouble when you're not around. You know that. I usually am very well behaved.
Right.
You have a tendency.
Right, right.
You
No, carry on about what you are doing tomorrow. That's where I'm at.
Tomorrow I'm just going to be at home. I'm going to be looking after the baby, changing nappies.
Oh, you're really changing your tune
to,
now.
I'm really looking forward to that.
I want to introduce my guest.
Sometimes fear is a good thing.
On that note, I want to introduce my guest, because this guest, like, I think she's going to get your ass kicked out of the house, like, very, very quickly.
No.
Like
we're here to talk about, like, really big things, you know, important stuff.
Duncan's like lowering me, and like
no, Duncan's not lowering anyone. Duncan's here to uplift, not to lower.
Okay.
Thanks, Duncan.
Okay, thanks.
All right, so introduce Baba.
So we have a special guest
introducing
on the show today.
That's a drum roll. Do you need it?
You've got a pop drum roll. Why don't you do your top billing voice? Like, let's do your top billing voice.
Introducing on the show with us today, Candace Mama. You can reach her on her Twitter handle at Candace Mama. Candace. How you
was
doing
that your top, was that your top billing?
I didn't get a chance to warm up. I needed to.
So you warm up on top billing? Oh, you used
la,
to.
La 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 la.
Okay, this show is going
to
be
welcome
very long
to top
today.
Billing. There, I'm ready now.
You know when you know a dad is not sleeping and like he's not getting major hours.
Just I'm not look getting at major anything. I'm not getting nothing.
Is that why you're inviting Candace for tomorrow for your birthday? Okay.
No, that's just
Candace,
what I'm trying to say.
You're starting war,
wow,
hey?
No. That went south quick.
Very, very quick.
Really, really quick.
Very, very really, quickly. Really quick. So you're not new to this Cliff Central. I see Gareth was trying his luck with you. You know?
Gareth as well.
He's trying.
The kryptonite,
stop
Gareth.
It.
And then Rina put me in the mix as well. I was like, don't stop, Rina. I could do this. You know?
You could do it, right?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Oh, terrible.
Yeah, I know someone else is listening. Cheslin. Hi, Cheslin.
Anyway, so you and I, like, we're going to do this gym thing together, Candace. Like, you know?
Uh-oh, that's what got me in trouble last time. Don't do it. Don't do it.
Like, there's... Are we going to get serious like at any stage today?
We have to now. Come on. For the sake of our listeners.
Okay. Okay.
Me, I'm just curious. I see this picture here, ne? That we've got of
a baby
back in the day. That's you.
A mother?
Right, yeah.
Describe the picture.
Where were you born, Candace?
I was actually born in Johannesburg.
Which part of Johannesburg?
I think my mom said Joburg. But it changes now and again, so...
Between that and Barra. Yeah. Were black people allowed to be born there at the time? Yeah.
No, Barra, Joburg Gen is the new Barra.
She says Joburg Gen was the it back then.
Yeah,
it was. It was.
She says it was popping, so...
You were
yes,
very
I
lucky.
Was
and that's where you were popping.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe that's how she came out, you know?
So, Umu
just saying.
Kimotswana, my mom is a mixture. She's Italian and Tswana.
Oh,
and then
see.
My dad is Xhosa, so... Yeah.
Oh, you're Italian mixed pasta.
So you're
I'm a mixed bag, guys. Buffalo gravy, nyana.
Okay. Tswana Xhosa Italian, Baba.
So rule on the show, né? Right. So Tumisha's got a thing for Xhosa women. So you're out of his scope.
Why not? She's Xhosa because her dad is Xhosa.
Oh, okay.
So actually, she's more Xhosa than
I guess
than
I'm
not.
Back in the scope.
You just Xhosa's, walked. You just
actually,
walked straight
Xhosa's
into the Xhosa's scope.
And Italians are my kryptonite.
You just DM me, like yeah. I was about to get my Mac on, right? Like to say, you know, I got a thing for Tswana women. You know, I'm just putting it out there. You know,
too
that's
late,
my
Baba.
Kryptonite. You know, and Italian. Obviously,
oh,
my godparents are Italian, so obvious. You know, so you know.
Yeah, you're in there, Papi.
So I was hoping to like register the CV under carpet, but Xhosa hit me to the curb.
But hang on, let's get real for a second. Let's get real. Because
yes.
It's a very serious story.
Let's.
Your father, basically, was he a political man? I mean, you know, from what I've read, he was part of what was alleged in Nelspruit 5.
Yes.
Was he a politicized man? Was he a political man? Tell me a bit more about your dad.
Yeah.
Tell us.
Well, he was political, but I mean, he was still very young. Mm. He was 25 when he passed away.
Okay.
But he was a part of, he was still the lower ranking. He was learning his way around politics, what was happening, trying to change our country.
Yeah.
And so he wasn't like your Nelson Mandela's, you know, he wasn't that huge on that huge scale. However, he was someone who was in the political field.
He was out there. He was fighting for our liberation.
He was.
All right. Yeah. And you obviously never met him.
No.
You know, you were very young when he was murdered by Eugene de Kock.
Oh, yeah.
What are some of the stories that you hear about him? You know, when we hear about, especially guys who fought for our freedom, the guys who were out there, they sound very serious. They sound like that's all they were about. I mean, what do you hear about him on an ordinary day-to-day basis? Clearly, he was a very loving dad and a very, you know, here he is holding you.
Yeah.
But what was he like to your mom?
Oh, no, he was amazing. Well, he sounds like he was amazing.
Yeah. Go for it.
Apparently, it was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. That's what people like to tell me. Great sense of humor, party wherever you went.
Yeah.
You know, like, he brought the party. Everywhere.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Man after my own heart.
So, he was a very loving person. He was just very free-spirited. And, you know, although he was fighting and he had that serious side, but his more day-to-day persona seemed more, you know, he was a protector as well. Okay. He was a protector, but he was also a party animal.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But here's the thing, right? A lot of young South Africans are like, no, we've heard enough of these political stories, we don't even want to see any more movies, blah blah blah. I mean, like, this is a story that needs to be told, right?
Yeah.
Would you agree that this is a story if we decided, okay, you know what, guys, let's put in $300 million, let's get Idris back, or maybe not Idris. I could play him.
Go ahead.
The right kind of budget, with the right kind of story, this is a great story. A young man who obviously had a lot to lose. He had you. I know what it's like to have a young daughter, because I've just got one now.
Yeah.
He had a beautiful wife. He had a whole life to live. But he decided that, you know what, it's not good enough. Not in a way that it's not good enough, but what am I giving to my daughter if I don't go and fight for it? Because if I don't do something about it, all I'll be is this guy who's at home looking after my daughter, but she won't have what you have right now, Candace.
Yeah.
So right now, you and I are sitting in the studio. We enjoy all these wonderful freedoms, but we forget that so much sacrifice had to be taken for them. And you're living with it on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah.
So would you say that if we made more movies, more TV shows about our history, it's still very poignant?
Oh, 100%. Actually, that's one of my projects, because I feel that, unfortunately, history, South African history, isn't being taught, and it's not being taught effectively. Huh. Because when it is being taught, it's like there are three central figures. It's Nelson Mandela, F.W. de Klerk,
and that's it.
Those are the two central figures, and then we'll name one person just to make it
maybe seem. Maybe Walter Sisulu.
Maybe.
Or, if even.
Winnie Mandela every now and again, and you need some controversy.
Right? So it's not something that's discussed properly in schools. And I know when I did a talk at one of the schools, and they were like, who's Eugene de Kock? I don't even know what you're talking about, kind of thing. You know, so they don't learn about our history. And then when they do get the movies, they're so, like, focused on the central figures, they don't focus on anyone else who passed on, you know? So I think that not only do they need to be told, but our kids need to be educated on what happened. And, you know, then I think we'll have a stronger sense of pride in our country when we know where we've come from.
Right.
But apartheid is over. You know, you know, they say apartheid is over.
I have a problem with that statement.
I mean, we all, as black people, have
I have a problem with that statement.
Yeah, but that's what I'm trying to get into. That's a general statement that people make. But apartheid is over.
Yeah.
Why are you still complaining?
Forget about
Why are you not where you should be, Monabisi? Mm. Huh? You're always complaining about this and that. You're not having opportunities. But you have freedom. Don't you? But that's the point
Candace,
I'm trying to
make. I want
to
hear your perspective.
I'm trying to make that point that we keep saying, but apartheid is over, and we forget that it really touched us in a very personal way.
Oh, yeah.
You specifically, in a very real and personal way. Do you feel that it's over for you?
Well, apartheid in the concept of it and the social construct of it, of course, is over.
Oh.
And we enjoy these, you know, things in our lives now. We can speak to white people. We can walk where we want to walk, you know. Life is good for us in that sense. So we've come a long way. But I don't think to say apartheid is over, because that's like closing it and putting it away.
Right.
Like, I mean, as with the Holocaust, I mean, Jewish people still, you know, commemorate that
almost
day.
Almost like it happened yesterday.
As if it happened yesterday. And then with South Africans, we expected to just put it behind us. Like, get over it, you know.
Yeah,
I mean, get over it. What are you crying about? I mean, apartheid is over. Whereas we're still living with the ramifications of what happened, you know.
Right,
I mean,
right.
I was directly impacted. I met Judge Albie Sachs, who was 100% directly, you know,
right.
in it.
Right.
So, I mean, to say it's over, forget about it, I think that's very ignorant. I would never.
Can we get real about, like,
yeah,
the impact of this on your young life?
Yeah, what does it mean on a young person?
On a day-to-day basis, like you were born, okay?
Yeah.
Your parents were obviously very young. Mm-hmm. How old was your mom when your dad passed away?
My mom was 24.
24, yeah. Single mother.
Yes.
Okay. Well, are you the only child? Or
No. I've got an older brother.
How old is he?
He's 28, and then my younger brother, but he's from my stepdad. So
okay,
he's 16.
So your when your father died, you were how old and how old
was
your brother?
I was 8 months, and my older brother was 4.
Was 4 years old.
Yeah.
This black woman, in a very tough period of our time, has these 2 kids.
Yeah.
No breadwinner. I don't think life insurance paid out.
Oh no.
Who's that?
Yeah.
And I don't think the government necessarily came and said, you know what, there's been this thing, we'll take care of you.
Yeah.
So, but here you are. How did that happen? How did you get here?
Wow. It took a lot.
I want us to talk about that because I mean, it's not even like there were opportunities. It's not like your mom could go get a grant like young women nowadays.
Yeah.
She had to do something. She had to like really get above her circumstances.
Yeah.
And I think this is a very encouraging story.
No, I admire my mom a lot in terms of that as well. I mean, when my dad passed away, she took me to stay with my great-grandmother. And then she stayed with my older brother in Joburg. But I mean, you know, I don't blame her for doing it. I mean, she needed to cope and to survive. And she got herself a career. She, you know, got herself working. And then she went and got me at about 4.5, 5.
Okay.
And then moved in.
Where was that? Where you?
I was in Mafeking.
Oh, Mafetown.
Yeah. Tswana.
Mm. Okay, so what's
Can you say air?
Yer.
Oh!
Oh, we're being serious. Come on. Please.
So, yeah. So then she went and got me from Mafeking. Came to Joburg. I stayed with my grandmother at the time.
Okay.
After my grandmother finally stayed with my mom, she met my stepdad and... Yeah, so we got better schooling, better education, you know, and yeah, so then the rest was history from that point.
Mm.
So from my side, like, there's a lot of things that the youth, for example, don't understand in terms of our history. How do we make it relevant? Because this thing is now, for you, it's not a story that you heard.
Yeah.
It's something that you've lived through.
Yeah.
How do we make it relevant? How do we teach them what or who Eugene de Kock is, for example, or who your dad is, and the role that they fit into where they are today?
Yeah, I think the media is a big part of that, especially with the older... maybe from 16 upwards,
right?
Because they're not willing to sit in a class and learn about this, you
right.
know. It's, I think the media has a big part to play in starting to bring shows that aren't just entertaining, but that are also informative.
Right.
You know, I mean, I'm not saying that we must sit there like, you know, no lean through talk and like make it hard hitting.
Thank you, baby Jesus.
Or like,
yeah.
George
tell
Koch. Me how you feel.
Yeah, exactly. Or Dr. Phil or Oprah, you know. I mean, it can be fun. We can educate.
Right.
While still making it relevant to today's society and today's, you know, how we function, how we live, and make it a show like that, you know, something interesting,
right.
but that you're still learning from.
And what is it that you do?
Me personally?
Yes.
Well, I'm doing so many things right now. I'm spread so thin.
Okay. Okay.
But the biggest thing I'm passionate about right now is the public dialogues that I'm launching in different universities. Openly talking about these kind of things. Racial discrimination, xenophobia. Is apartheid really behind us?
Right.
You know, and finding solutions to fix these things. Because,
right.
I mean, if we don't speak about them, it won't spark your mind to come up with solutions to
right.
fix them.
Right, right.
I want you to keep telling us more about the stuff
keep
that you're doing because I like what you said there. You're working so hard, you're spread so thin. And a lot of people are just, it's like it's a terrible thing to be like that.
No.
You know, and it's what we have to do. So tell us more about what else you're doing.
Yeah, and then I'm an ambassador for the Tears Foundation.
Yeah.
They, transformational.
Tears as in TS.
Tears.
Tears, no.
Oh.
DK
Lady.
Okay.
Tears.
Tears.
Iskalo.
No. The Tears Foundation, they transformational education around rape and sexual abuse.
Okay.
And basically what they do is they give women assistance who've been in an abusive situation, sexually abused, any form of abuse, and we're raising funds for them. And then I'm doing a mentorship program for young girls.
Wow.
And it
don't
is
be easy on
have to be. I'm doing a mentorship program with young girls, you know, just teaching them social behavior, how to read social cues, because things we take for granted because maybe we had better education or whatever.
Mm.
In some communities, these girls don't learn these things, how to behave in certain areas, you know, how to tell if someone is like snubbing you or giving you an opportunity, you know, so teaching proper life skills.
But here's the thing, right? Where did you learn all this, Candace? I mean, you're still a young lady.
Yeah.
And it's not something that you learned just because you went to school or because you went to university. You know, it's something that you have to actually work hard at acquiring. So tell us a bit about how this came about.
You know, it came about with a lot of hard life situations, you know, I mean, unfortunately I grew up in a abusive home, and in that context, you kind of learn to adapt and to move, you know, move forward very quickly. And my mom, fortunately, always had books in the house. So all these Stephen Covey's, Paulo Coelho's, every self-help guru you can think of, we had him in the house.
Oh, Mama Zala.
Yeah, I'm telling you. So we read all these books. So I was very informed at a very early age. So my process of growth was very accelerated in that sense. You know, when my younger brother was born, I took over the care part. You know, he was like my baby.
How much, you know? How many years younger than
he's
you?
Seven. He's seven years younger
so
than
you were
me.
Seven, and then from then on, you were the babysitter.
Yeah, right, cool. So that probably helped propel, like, you know, fast forward my growth a bit. But yeah, so all these self-help books actually did help me, you know, a lot in my cognition, how I relate to people, how I relate to my communities, and help me grow up a bit better.
Okay. And then after school, did you decide to go study social work and that sort of thing?
No, actually I didn't. What I wanted to do was do behavioral studies.
Okay.
And then my mom was like, King and Twill.
And what are you gonna use it for?
How do you make money? Social behavioral studies. What rubbish.
Yeah.
So then she was like, go do an economics degree. So I did BCom entrepreneurial management.
Okay.
And then after year one, I just passed, and then I said to her, you know, look, it's not because I'm dumb, it's because I don't want to do it. You know, then I stopped.
Let's talk about this.
Yeah. So I stopped, and then I am doing communication science now.
Actually, I'm reading.
You're studying?
I'm still studying. Yeah.
And how old are you?
23. In 4 days? No.
What? She's like, you're a youngster.
No, I'm turning 24 now, next week, Tuesday.
Hey.
Yeah.
Char.
24. How many years ago was that, Monavis?
That's a couple of years for you, buddy. Can you even remember what 24? How do you write 24, buddy?
Yeah, it was fun. 24, I remember, was like, it was 1990 something.
Dimish is like the only 60-year-old man I know that just got a kid at like age 60, you know? So when the daughter's like 10 years, he's going to be like 100. Please, God, can you imagine the life...
All the life values and things, the experience I'm going to be passing to her.
But I was getting other thoughts when she said 23. Like
what?
The ones you were thinking.
What was I thinking?
The ones that you don't even want.
You can look into my mind. You can look into my mind.
No, because you're smiling. I know when you're smiling like that. Obviously.
Really?
Like, yeah.
So you know all my smiles.
Ah, guy. Yeah.
Yeah, I was 24, not so long ago. I was like, wow. Okay, so which varsity are you at?
UNISA. I'm studying from home.
Oh,
thank
okay.
God. Yeah. All right.
So where do you stay?
I stay in... I stay in the West Rand, around that area.
This is relevant to what we're talking about. It's very relevant. Which part of the West Rand, by the way?
Ramsar.
I was just about to talk about Ramsar. That's what I was asking. Listen. Well, obviously he's dead. He's on the floor.
Oh, goodness.
No, but you see, we're talking about reconciliation and forgiveness. Don't you find it like it tests your reconciliation and forgiveness, Remsek? It tests mine. When I'm in that little shopping center of yours by the KFC.
Oh, Featherbrook Village.
Featherbrook Village. Those white people, they test my Mandela, my inner Mandela there.
Oh, no, stop.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to move past that. I'm trying to not be about
that. Let's move past it.
But Remsik is a test. Is it not a test for you?
I don't find it a test. I think it's because there's so many Manesh students. It kind of washes out all the...
Oh, so you hang out to the Manesh boys?
No, I don't. I personally don't hang out with them, but they're in the area.
Right.
You know, so, yeah.
You know, you strike me as someone who easily forgives, eh?
Easily?
Yeah. And I'll tell you why, because... Like, for me, it's quite refreshing talking to you, because it's almost like you've like, okay, I needed to do something. I've done it. I focused on it and I moved on.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of us stay in that zone, you know, and I'm speaking for myself now to say, at the back of my mind, like, I think, Rasitumisho, but the one day he did this and this and this.
I think about that all the time.
And like
one of these good days, you're gonna find what you're looking for. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Put you on that bumper.
On that, yeah. It's almost like we bank people, you know, like Rao Banka, you know, go banky.
Yeah.
How did you get past that? Because you know, I don't want to like obviously get into the histrionomics of why you're here, but we wanted to just chat to somebody who's really cool and somebody who's going somewhere, you know?
Yeah.
So how do you move past that forgiving? So, and you've made it look so easy.
Okay. Okay. First, it wasn't easy. I think, at about 16, around 16, I started like getting ulcers and all these health related problems. And I realized that I needed to fix myself and I needed to fix my life. And
right.
That's really how it happened from that day on. I made a conscious decision. But then all of a sudden, one day I woke up and I wasn't angry anymore. I wasn't bitter. I wasn't holding on to that resentment. You know, it was just a daily effort just to let it go.
Right.
And now, like in everyday life, I am more forgiving of people. But it's just generally because I don't have the capacity to hold on to that kind of anger in me. So I'm just like, I'm angry now. And like tomorrow, I'm like, whatever, man.
Right.
You know, I let it go.
You said before that forgiving is actually a very selfish act.
Oh,
because you're not doing it to the benefit of the other person, but your own benefit.
Oh,
explain that to us for a second, because you even said you had ulcers before you forgave.
Yeah. I mean, when I say that, it's just like, have you ever been angry with someone? Then you see them smiling and you're like, damn it, one day. You know, like, you hate.
Wanna
yeah. The nerve. Yeah. Yeah. You know, and that person's going on with their lives, but there you are holding on to this anger. And every time you see them, you're like, I hope you choke. You know, but you go home and you angry. You're like, hey, and you call your friends and you're like, hey, you'll never believe who I saw, you know, hey, and I tell her, yes, you know, that kind of anger.
Right.
Yes, exactly. So when you hold on to that, it affects your health, your well-being. It doesn't affect the other person. The other person's moved on with their lives, you know. So when you make that decision, it really calms you. It helps you get to a better state of just being, a better state of living, being in the present, appreciating life around you.
Right. Now, for the benefit of those who don't know who Eugene de Kock is.
Yes.
Can you explain who that is?
Yeah. Basically, he was the commander and chief of the Flock Plus unit, but he also ran a lot of major operations in Africa.
Right.
He's called the assassin of the state because he acted on orders from, F.W. de Klerk denies it, but he acted from state orders to, you know, carry out some of the biggest atrocities in South Africa's history, unfortunately. So he was sentenced to 212 years, and I don't know how many life sentences. So yeah,
he murdered a lot of people.
And did he tell you how many?
No, I didn't ask how many.
How much time did you get to spend with him?
I spent about 45 minutes with him.
Okay.
45, but it felt like a day. It was exhausting.
And what did you guys talk about?
Well, first we spoke about why he killed my dad. Mm-hmm. Then after that, we spoke about the element.
And did he remember your dad?
Oh, he remembered like to the T. He remembered the day. He remembered the weather. He remembered what was happening. He remembered how they died, the execution, why. I mean, his memory is unbelievable. Like he remembers every detail of everything he's ever done. And so we spoke about that, and I think he spoke about that for 10 minutes, and it was pretty excruciating for us as a family to hear those details. And then afterwards my mom said, you know, I forgive you, and the family said, I forgive you. And then I asked him, well, you know, I want to say I forgive you, but I want to know, like, do you forgive yourself? And then he went on some weird solo conversation. Then he said, you know, every time a family comes and sees me, I hope that's one question they never ask.
Sure.
Because when you've done the things I've done, how can you forgive yourself? And I think that was just like the barrier just broke in me at that time. I was like, shoo, okay.
I think the hardest thing about that kind of conversation is dealing with his humanity.
Yes.
Dealing with, up until then, he was a monster.
Oh, yeah.
That you could just say, that guy is a monster, Eugene de Kock, you know, whatever. And then you 100%. Meet the guy, right? And then it's a shock because the dichotomy is he is that, but he's also like a human being sitting right in front of you with feelings and emotions, who's done terrible things.
Yeah.
Whether he feels bad about them or not, there is a sense that you can feel like the realness of karmic, the universe working its own justice in a way that we as humans cannot. We could have given him 100 life sentences. Oh. We could have given him the death penalty. But there's something about that. There's a God out there whose justice is more real than what we could do.
Oh, 100%. I couldn't have said it better. I mean, when you look at someone like that and you see how broken they are from the decisions they've made in their lives and how everything he built. I think what killed me as well was everything he's built his life believing. You know, I mean, what he was taught from an early age, and this is why you're killing, this is why you're doing what you're doing.
Yeah. All that hate.
And then all of a sudden, one day they wake up and they say, hey, sorry, man, we were wrong.
Bye. Yeah. These people are not animals. They're people like us. Yes. Let's love them.
Yes.
What do you mean?
I mean, that must really kill your psyche as a human being. You're like, okay, I wasn't doing it because I'm a good person. I was doing it because I'm pretty damn evil, you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
the realization of that must be something else. So I can't even picture it. You know?
But do you ever wonder? I'm sorry to
Yeah.
But like, whatever happened to all the other Eugene de Kocks, and maybe the hectic ones, but just your ordinary garden variety.
You kill someone, you're hectic.
No, I'm just talking about your garden variety racist. You know that guy that back in the 80s maybe served you terribly or made you feel bad about being black, and now it's like it's over, and it's like, oh,
dude,
dang.
You take half a life. Was there any explanations from him over and above, like, why he did it for your day? I mean, is there anything else that, like, that was for you that breaker, that icebreaker, to say, okay, I forgive you and now I'm going to help you try and get out of here?
I mean, there were a lot of those kind of moments, actually. The forgiveness one was one of them. But then he also told me a story about, you know, his wife and kids. And
are they still alive?
That's the thing. The last time he had contact with him was the day he knew they were going to imprison him and blame him, put everything on him. So took
his wife left him.
Yeah. I think it was 1992.
But she left him before he went to prison.
No.
Maria Placa. Anyway, serious. Okay.
You never know.
So he never saw his kids again. Up till today, he's never seen his wife and kids again. And he doesn't know if they're alive, where they are, what they're doing, that kind of thing. I mean, those small things make you feel like, whoa, okay. Mm. If I was this person, would I really be coping right now, you know?
Right.
And I think as well, when he said he wasn't racist, I think that was... It kind of threw me for a loop.
Yeah.
I won't lie.
That's a little bit weird.
Yeah, very
like
weird.
He spent his whole life
killing black people.
But you know, I'm not racist though.
Dude, like, chill out.
Like,
man.
Okay.
Yeah.
He probably got to know them better than his own counterparts, because that's what is his job, to get to know you. And well,
I
not
suppose.
To get to know
no, you. No, a lot of times you got to know you.
Yeah.
You have to study you.
Yeah. So I could agree. But what was your interpretation of that?
No, it was very... Because for me, I just went in with a belief that he must be racist. I mean, anyone who kills that many black people must be racist.
Mm,
And then he just said, no, for him, it was literally a war. He was protecting his country. It wasn't about black or white. It was just, if you are a terrorist against his country, he's going to kill you.
Right.
You know, and that was his thinking. And then to illustrate it, he said that when the government was turning, they informed all of them that, okay, listen, you know, you can jump ship now and no one will have to take the fall for this. But if you don't, you know, we're going to put it on you. And he said for him, it was such a shock to his system that he joined the Inkatha Freedom Party to try and fight against the changing of the government, because he was like, how on earth are we just changing our government?
So, how do we change? How do we wake up one day and just change our minds?
Yeah. Oh, like, what do you mean? Like, it's okay.
Yeah, no, but it's not okay.
So he joined Mangosuthu.
Yes, he joined the Inkatha Freedom Party. And I was shocked. I was like, what? And he's like, yeah, no, he joined them. And then obviously then he was in prison, court and whatever. But he's like, for him, it was really never about black or white. It was about right and wrong in his head.
Right.
You know, yeah. So that was a crazy one for me.
How's his time in prison though? I mean, like, he's in CMAX in Pretoria, right?
He was.
Where is he now?
He got parole earlier this year.
Yeah, he got parole. Yeah, yes, yeah. Of course.
But he was in CMAX in Pretoria.
In Pretoria.
And I asked him about that as well. And he said, you know, for him, what's helped him is reading a lot. Because although his body is imprisoned, his mind is out there with us. Hmm. And I was like, that's potent.
Does he get Does he get DSTV?
No, he didn't say he got DSTV. No,
oh, okay.
He didn't say.
Because then he's not really like us.
Yeah.
No, but you can imagine that.
Yeah.
He is not watching ballers.
But you can imagine.
He's not watching Super Sport.
No.
But you can imagine.
No.
He's not watching MTV.
None of those perks.
He's not watching Trace. He's not watching One Gospel.
None of us.
He's not with us.
Sometimes we're hectic. Yes, I don't know which Dumisho he's got so many egos.
The new,
like, actors, I don't know which
generations. The
this
legacy.
This is a new Dumisho that's just arrived. Can I just put it out there? Like, I don't know this nigga.
Oh goodness!
Did I just say that?
Did you just say that? You just use the N word.
I just
you use the N word.
I I don't know. Yeah, I think we need to cut that out. Let's just unsay that.
Now we know what Monobis is really
I don't know.
That's the real Monobis.
I think all this, like this racial talk is just causing me to go into like another Anyway. This is crazy.
So,
in terms of like you.
Yeah.
Right. Like here's this young girl. She doesn't know basically what happened, but she knows this guy's responsible.
Oh, yeah.
So, did you, how are you now? Obviously, you were quite instrumental in helping him to get parole.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, was it on the basis that he told you the truth about your dad? Or I mean, how did you now turn from being a hater of this man?
Yeah.
To now wanting to help him to get out of it.
Yeah. I mean, I forgave him before I met him. You know, for me, the parole decision was always going to be based on who he is today.
Right.
Because, I mean, I'm a believer that anyone, if you come out and you poison one mind, then that's one mind too many. So
right.
For me, my decision was always going to be based on how does he see himself in the world and how does he relate to the world now? You know, is he still hateful and vengeful, or what's he about? Mm. That was my question.
Mm. Yeah.
And then I met him and he was pretty, yeah, he shattered everything, every notion I had of
who he was. Did he shake your hand? Did he hug you?
I actually asked to hug him at the end when we were done and we'd all been crying and stuff. Okay, my mom and I shouldn't say all.
Right.
My mom and I had been crying and we got up and they dismissed us and I said, you know, can I hug you? And he like looked at me like, girl, what?
Yeah.
You know how long I've been here.
Ain't no ninjas gonna be doing no other like time out.
Wait a minute.
I think he thought I had a knife or something.
Did they suppose
not trust nobody. A shank. That's what they call him. You thought you had a shank.
Yeah.
You were going to shank him. Yeah. With
he's
a sharpened
toothbrush. He's like, I survived too long.
Yeah. I've gotten this far.
Yeah.
And I'm not going out like that. Shank.
Oh, goodness.
By a 20-something-year-old.
Stop. Do we just stop? Stop. In fact, let's close his mic.
From racism. Hell no. I ain't going to.
Okay, so you can talk now.
Yeah, so then afterwards, yeah, I gave him a hug and we made a couple of jokes, you know, and yeah, it was very weird. I mean, I think what shocked me more was, I mean, no one gives you a hand guide on how to meet your dad's killer, you know, and here I was, like, I just hugged this man and I'm like, oh my goodness, what is happening?
Mm.
You know, and we're making jokes and I'm like, whoa, should I be laughing right now? Is this appropriate? You know, like,
was he making jokes about your dad?
No.
That's like, ABS, hold up, ninja.
No, that's one joke too many. No.
Yeah.
It was just like, we took a picture and then he was like, you know, my mom and I were on either side of him. And he's like, oh my goodness, let me fix myself up. You know, I haven't been around women in a while. We're like, ooh.
So he's not hitting on you. What?
This guy.
This guy.
I can't.
You guys just took it there.
But those are the realities of prison life, man. Those are real. It's like, actually, you know what?
So Mizzy would have been very happy on this part.
So Mizzy would be, you might be very happy in prison.
Very happy.
Like, this is the place for me.
Pick up the soaps.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Wow.
Sorry about that.
It's all good. It's all good.
Yeah. Sure. Lucky you're young and like you're taking it to the, like you're taking
she forgives us.
Yeah. And I definitely need to forgive you. Jeepers. So now,
yes.
I'm still stunned. Like,
wait. Here's my thing.
Yeah.
You guys made a decision as a family to forgive him.
Yeah.
But there were a lot of other families who hadn't.
Oh yes.
And I think you came under some fire from the other people.
Yeah.
How difficult was that in comparison to what you've just been through with Eugene de Kock? I'm sure that must have been like, in your heart, you know you're doing the right thing and you're meeting with all this resistance.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it actually wasn't that hard. I won't lie. Mm. I mean, for me, I've always been someone who didn't go with mass approval anyway. So it didn't matter to me, but because I knew what I felt. But I had to also double check what I felt because I was like, yo, maybe I'm crazy.
Right.
You know, so
I
double checked with the people. He's like, the MPA people who were working with him, with Professor Pumla Gobboda, who wrote a book about him, and she'd had interactions with him. And then I met a lot of other people who'd met him, and I was just double checking, like, listen, so was he like this with you? Did he say this? Was he, you know, how did you receive him? And when all of them said the same thing,
you had a debrief.
Yes. And then when
all
of them.
Before you met him?
No, before. No, after. After. Long after. So when all of them had when all of them had like the same consensus, then I knew I was fine. Right, so I didn't really care about the backlash or anything like that. Yeah.
Do you think that it was right that he was given parole?
Yeah.
Do you think?
Have you met him since?
Hey, no, I'm actually gonna see him. I think before the year ends. It's just that our schedules haven't been permitting. I'm not sure where he lives.
Don't you think
I'm
it's gonna be worse for him being out?
I think it might. Yeah.
An old man, whether white or black,
yeah,
who has no prospects of being employed,
yeah,
has to live in this world that has really changed,
yeah.
And quite frankly, he's got no real means or family.
You know what it is? Actually, those aren't even the things that worry me. I'm under the impression that he'll be fine financially. He's got enough friends and people who are willing to provide.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
oh,
okay. Who are willing to provide for his means and living. For me, the thing that
really
that I struggle with. No, stop it. No, the thing that I think I worried about most is how he's going to fit into society. You know, I mean, he's quite a large man in stature and everything. And I mean, we know what he looks like.
Yeah.
You know, so I think it's more that concerned me more than the actual
your day to day. He's
at
the shopping center.
I mean, can you imagine?
Trying to fit his trolley. And then someone's like,
right,
and then it's like it's awkward because it's not great celebrity. It's not like someone wants a hug and a picture.
Don't
it's like
hug,
yeah,
hug.
No, it's not the same thing.
No,
it's like people take pictures with you, buddy. Huh? Let's not go there. Anyway, yes, you were saying.
Yeah, they do actually.
Okay,
just today.
At home,
it doesn't count. Those ones that you take yourself.
At home, no one wants my pictures. Yeah. They don't care. Really. They just want me to wash the dishes, take out the trash, and change the nappies. I'm nobody there.
Welcome to the food chain, buddy.
It's awkward for me because in the real world, I'm somebody. So I get home and I'm like, this is weird. I don't know how to deal
with
this.
This is messed up.
Okay, I don't want to go to Twitter right now because somebody actually sent me a personal message.
What did they say?
About you.
What did they say?
We won't go there. But anyway, you were saying...
What was I saying? I've completely forgotten.
So in fact, so you said him trying to fit into society would be more of a challenge.
Oh, yeah. I think that's going to... Yeah, I mean, for me personally, I mean, if I wasn't the girl... talking about him.
Right.
I think actually even me, I think if I bumped into him like in Pick and Pay, I'd be like, whoa, hey.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it would still throw me for a bit of a loop, you know. Yeah. But
because there's no prison guards there.
No. No.
It's not even that. I think it's just like, I mean, when you meet someone in a confined area, you know, how we all act in different situations is very different to when like it's just me and you now.
Right.
You know, so that's why I also want to see him again, you know, just to close that chapter almost, you know,
very,
just
good,
yeah
though.
Instead of just like thinking that okay that one
you don't want to be surprised
that's the thing, you know, so
but
you
do
kinda
you think
just
he'd
meet
want
someone.
To see you
oh yeah no he reached out to me first that's how yeah that's
really?
How this meeting's gonna happen yeah
what if you went down in history as the one young lady who actually I mean I'm sure he was on his way but you really turned this guy around and you made him see a humanity for a people that he never saw before.
Wow. I mean, that would be a great thing to go down in history for, right?
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, I think it's a very powerful thing that you're doing. Scary.
Yeah.
It can't be easy, but it's a very powerful thing. And I really think that you should be encouraged to keep on doing that and to keep teaching people about this because you taught me a lot today.
Yeah.
About, I mean, we hold on to the smallest things.
Yeah.
Like, I think we've got a problem with road rage in this country. And it's usually over the smaller stuff. And what you've had to deal with is very, very real. And the fact that you can let go of that makes me think all my petty issues, I've really got to like let it go.
Well, have you let it go? I mean, let's go there.
Yeah.
Is this stuff you still not letting go of? I mean, let's go
In my real life?
Yeah.
Not really, no. I don't hang on to stuff. I really don't. I'm very lucky in that sense, you know, but I'm not saying I hang on to people who bring me bad luck or stress or stuff. I let you go, but I let you go with a problem, you know, I don't sit with it and simmer with it and be like, oh my goodness, I'm so angry.
Right.
No, I'm just like, okay, bye.
It's over between us. Have a good life.
Something like
don't
that.
Don't call me.
I'll call you. No.
I wish you all the best, but I just not you at now. I'm with you on that one. Goodbye.
We're on the same page.
So how are we celebrating your birthday?
What do you guys want to do for me for my birthday?
When's your birthday?
You see?
On Tuesday.
It's on Tuesday.
Really? I can think of a couple of things.
Like, why don't we start celebrating from tomorrow until Tuesday?
Hey, me, I'm going to have to make some calls. I'm going to make some serious calls. Some mad calls.
Okay, sorry.
Like, I come up with this and then Timisho now, like, wants to. Okay, let's hear what you want to go, buddy.
Fine.
So, what do you want to do tomorrow, Timisho? Let's go there.
No, I've quit now. I've
Yeah, you best quit because you won't be staying in Danefern, eh?
I forgive you, but.
Little Falls is expensive, man. Oh, you know, it's not Danefern.
I stay in Ramsey with my friend Muzi.
Right. What's the agenda for the next meeting? Let's say when you do meet him. I mean, yeah. What's on your mind? What do you want to close?
You know what? There's nothing I want to close. There's really nothing. I think it's just having an interaction with him again. You know, just normal interaction. Like, how are you? How's it been outside of prison? That kind
right,
of thing.
Right.
You know, I don't think there's anything he could say to me that would, like, literally throw me for a loop. You
right,
know? So
right.
It's just...
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah. Did he name any other people that were involved in your dad's thing that are probably even on the outside now that they obviously won't get prosecuted now?
Yeah.
Did he name any other people?
Well, they were all on public record, you know, yeah. But it's just they didn't get jail time because they turned on Eugene. But I mean, I've known of them,
right?
You know, but he honestly didn't pass blame or anything. He wasn't like, it was the government, it was this one, it was that one. He was just like, I did it, you know, so it helped, I think, as well. The
he's
fact actually, that he took responsibility.
Yeah, he's
for
actually
him.
Stronger than the other people.
Oh, yeah.
And he's,
definitely.
He had, I suppose, to forgive in that way because yeah. Everyone else was like, oh, no, it wasn't me, it was him.
Yeah.
Or, meantime, they
yeah.
were the ones.
Or they were like, it was the government, or it was this, or it was that. It was some.
And
you
he's
know,
the one
he's
like,
he's
look,
just like, it was me. You know, I
take
made
responsibility
really bad.
For this. Yeah. And that's very brave.
Very.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think also from our side, you know, I'd definitely like to salute you. And I see you've got some guns on you there, huh? Some mad guns. So are you working out? I mean, how do you keep this bubbly personality going, eh?
At the gym. No.
Right.
No, I do work out.
We see them guns. We see you.
I just do things that make me happy and I love people. So
yeah.
Whenever I'm here, I like go with people or
right.
whatever, it's a happy time for me. So
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ah, that's one. I see you.
No, a little one. Jimmy Show, Jim's not your friend, eh? Like,
what are you talking about? Look at these guns.
Where? I'm seeing a lot of other guns, eh? And it's 6-liter guns. Pump action.
Just because
more
I'm protecting my six pack with a gallon doesn't mean I don't have guns.
You know, I just have to put it on record. Even DJ Spoo's going to gym now. Like, I'm just putting it out there.
Who needs the gym?
I just needed to put
I'm
that.
Born strong.
Okay. You're born in
Okay. We gotta get into the tech session because we gotta get out of here. Thank you for being with us. We're just gonna go straight into the tech. You can just like feel free to join in. You know that Apple Watch is causing non-Apple Watch sales to drop.
Did you know that? Did you
know
that?
I didn't
know
that.
No. Have you got an Apple Watch by the way?
I do not.
Since you're gym, it's very important to get one.
Yeah.
Will you give me one for my birthday?
See now, we're becoming friends. I'll see what I can do.
Ding,
okay?
Ding, 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 ding.
I just have to move
ding,
some
ding,
money
ding,
from
ding,
time
ding.
To time.
Stop the fight. Ding, 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 ding. Candace 1, Timisho 0. Ding, 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 ding.
You get one before I do.
I'll get you one.
Aww.
I'll get you one for your birthday.
I'm going to tell Chesley.
Yeah, no. So is there anything else like that you'd like? Maybe someone wrapped in a ribbon. Just the ribbon.
You're showing yourself.
You can forgive me later.
You sure you can wear just a ribbon? You're not that young yourself, buddy.
For sure.
All right. Okay, look.
I'll get you one.
There are some gadgets that...
off the record.
Listen.
Sometimes I got a number.
Listen, Monavis. Okay, the Apple Watch does provide like practical healthcare stuff, right?
Okay.
But
yeah,
there's
the
other
Fitbit
gadgets,
stuff,
the Fitbit stuff, whatever. There's this other thing called the Soundlinks. It's a smart hearing aid, and it uses Bluetooth to connect to a smartphone and a tablet, so you can hear.
I think Greg Maloka's got one.
Why would Greg have one?
Because his technology is technologically.
But is he hard of hearing?
No.
So why does he have something that...
No, because it links him up to his phone, so he can pick up the phone calls and...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Apple does do that. You know that, right?
We're talking about the sound links now.
Yeah, oh, okay.
Not the Apple Watch.
Okay.
But it's okay. I see how you can use that.
Right.
Although, talking about the Apple Watch, you can literally go, hello? Hello on your watch. Hi.
Ooh.
Hi. I'm in a meeting. Sorry. I'm in a meeting.
Yeah.
I'm in a... Sorry. I'm in a meeting. Okay, bye.
This show just went south.
But there is another gadget called the Temp Track. It's a hands-free temperature monitor for babies. We gotta move on.
Yeah, you gotta get that. Are you gonna get it sponsored as well, buddy?
I am, probably.
Right,
no? I'll just tell them, look, guys, just give me the damn thing. Okay. I'll be like, okay, Timisho, whatever. We won't give you a BMW, but we'll give you this thing.
No. I saw the breasts that were on last week's show, by the way.
That's awesome. I'm using them every day. I have to hold on to them.
Yeah, because that's probably the only thing you can hold on to.
That's the moment.
No, I can see it's rough.
Can you tell in my face?
No, I can see.
I feel like I'm losing my sight.
It's very rough.
There are times when I'm like.
I think that's one thing they. By the way, that's one thing they should educate men on.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Is post birth.
Oh, yeah.
Because a lot
just
of people.
Before birth
think,
as well. Just from just before, like.
No, but your gynecologist should encourage it.
Encourage what?
That.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Yeah, it doesn't always work out the way you want it to.
It's
you
just
know?
Post-birth. Is they should warn me.
It's very real.
That's why he wants you address and whatnot. So be careful.
Really?
My area code.
Yeah.
Really, I would never.
Which complex, by the way, are you at there? You know, just saying. Maybe we meet at gym or something. I know he won't join us at gym. But you and I can meet at gym.
When he's tired out from the gym, you call me.
He'll also be tired because he's been taking out the trash.
It's 4 o'clock. It's time to go.
Candace, it's been real having you with us, you know, and we definitely, I think you're a true inspiration and we definitely.
Yeah, we really appreciate you taking time to talk.
Thank you.
And to the whole of South Africa. Big up to you, girl.
Yeah, and we're definitely going to, you know, give your projects a voice and I know obviously you know you're gonna be in Black magazine as well. So
I am. I'm excited.
Yeah, man, and we're excited to have you. And your pictures turned out beautifully.
You know? I have no doubt about that.
I'm sure you don't.
Thank you.
I see you.
From us, that's it.
All right, we're out of here.
Thank you so much.
This is CliffCentral.com.